Hey, Terry Savage, I have sent a email, or maybe this came as a text message from one of our listeners. It says, give the money lady a New Year's thank you for her great advice this year. And then they had AI generate a picture of Terry Savage, the money lady, as a superhero carrying...
Oh, did you get that too?
Oh my gosh. And by the way, you look great in this. Not that you don't always.
Yeah, well, it's AI generated. Don't you dare post that on the GN website. Although it's so fabulous. I must say, it's me as money superwoman. I love it.
City background. It's funny because I'm sure they said create a poster of Terry Savage, the money lady. So you're holding bags of money and the city skyline in the background with fireworks going overhead. It says Happy New Year 2026. And there's your face in sort of a superwoman costume.
Yes.
I will share this with you. And with your approval, with your consent, I will share it with our listeners. Otherwise, I won't.
You know what? It's so fabulous, and it's such a compliment. I would love it if you would post it for just 24 hours until we get the news.
Yes. Then we'll take it right down. Hi, Terry Savage, the money lady. How are you today?
Well, should I say where I'm calling in from? That would probably be smart.
Go ahead.
I'm finally taking a vacation. I haven't had a real vacation in a long time, so I'm sitting looking out over Acapulco Bay.
I'm not.
Sorry about the call. I know I heard the weather report just before we talked.
Well, you can't complain about spending any time in Chicago. I've got a nice view out my window, but it's cold and it's gray, and we've got maybe a little more snow coming. We had some off on the windshields this morning. How's the weather in Acapulco Bay?
I think they say it's like this every day, about 84 and beautiful with a slight breeze. Yeah. And you know, the palm trees waving in the wind and everything you'd expect.
Okay.
All right, now back to the markets. Hey, listen, the stock market this year could not be outdone by Acapulco Bay. I looked up the numbers, John. So for the year, dividends included, that's total return, looks like the Dow is going to be up about 22%. And the S&P 500 a little more than that. The NASDAQ a little, I'm sorry, the Dow is up of 15%. The S&P 500 up about 22%, the NASDAQ up about 25%. And not only is it up net up 15, 20, 25% for the year, those three popular indexes, but you have to remember that the market in general, the S&P anyway, was down 20% in April after the tariffs were proposed. So this is a huge swing from the bottom to the top. It was a scary moment. And this has been an unusual and incredible year.
Yeah.
And so for that, we should all give thanks and then start asking ourselves, could it happen again? Could we get another year like this? We know the long-term average return is a little over 10%, 10.1, 10.2% with dividends reinvested on the S&P 500. And of course, if anybody had the answer for sure, I mean, we wouldn't need to be talking about it. But the question is, how exposed are you now? How grateful are you for profits? And how much do you want to protect going forward?
Not to cast a shadow on all of that. That's all good news. And we've been happy to report it this year. But if we subtracted the Magnificent Seven, if we just took out some of those stocks, I wonder where we would be. And what should we make of that question?
Well, you'd still be up significantly. The Dow is not that unduly influenced by the Magnificent Seven as the S&P is. And it's still up 15% total return. So it's been a very, very good year for the stock market. No one should complain about that kind of positive return. But clearly, and I saw a wonderful graphic. I wish I could do this on TV, but maybe I'll post it on my website if I can. By Rosenberg Research, detailing the kind of capital investment that has gone into things like AI and data centers and related versus the kind of capital investment that relates to the consumer economy. And that's where you get the K-shaped economy. One line going straight up that relates to investment and returns in technology and data centers and so forth. And underneath it, a very weakening sense of consumer expectations and consumer realities in terms of jobs and sentiment. So it's going to be a very interesting year going forward. And nobody should be blinded. This is my message. I just posted a new column at terrysavage.com, two of them actually, one about year-end investment thoughts and the other about the challenge you will face with your chicken money in the year ahead. And basically, the bottom line is nobody can predict the future. We can look at averages. We could see we've strayed to extremes from the averages. The question is not being right about where the market is going. The question is being right about protecting the profits you have and understanding the risk if next year does not look at all like this year.
Yeah. Incidentally, you're not on vacation. You're working.
Oh, yeah. I've been answering questions that have been posted on my blog. I never take my eye off the markets and off my readers and listeners. But I love that's not work for me.
Okay, 312-981-7200. You've got a question or comment for Terry. And here they come. Hey, Terry Savage, I know I should convert some stock to a safer place, but I don't know which ones. I don't know if this person's talking about which stocks to convert or which places to convert them to, but we'll let Terry respond to that in just a minute. How about you? 312-981-7200. You can call or text WGN. Terry Savage, the money lady, is working for us long distance. All right, you ready for more questions, Terry?
Yes, I would love it if you would repeat the question you asked just before the break, because if I had written it myself, I couldn't have teed up better the advice I'd like to give.
Hey, Terry Savage, I know I should convert some stock to something safer, but I don't know which ones. Not a Roth, I know. What do you say?
All right, let's stop. I want to give you the 1, 2, 3 of what you should do now when you look at your accounts, and let's talk about what account it might be. Let's start with retirement accounts. Maybe you have an individual retirement account. We're not talking about Roth versus traditional. We're just talking about inside your IRA. And you've got a bunch of stock mutual funds. Maybe someone told you what to buy. Maybe you bought them on your own and the market's been on a tear. We're within a hair's breadth of all-time highs. And I'm sure by the time we get Dr. Bob on, which will be on the 14th or something like 15th of January, we'll probably have hit that 50,000 mark. So I'm not envisioning a crash in the next week. So what I'm saying is, if you look, you've been contributing to your IRA or you rolled over an IRA, your account balance, and you can look at it online, is much larger than you ever thought it would be. All you have to do is say, I've got these four mutual funds. Contact your custodian, with Fidelity or Vanguard or your broker, and just say, I want to move 25% from each one of those funds into a money market mutual fund. I'm going to retire next year or the year after. I'd like to lock in those profits. There is no tax consequence to moving the money out of a mutual fund into a money market fund as long as it stays inside your IRA, whether it's traditional or Roth. That's category one. Category two, you're still working, but you're getting closer to retirement. You're still going to be contributing and getting the match. But wow, look at the balance. You talk to your custodian again and say, what's the safe offering inside my 401k or 403b plan? They typically don't have a money market fund. Those are set up for workers to keep contributing and growing their money over years. But there may be something called a stable value fund or a very short-term government bond fund. Again, just say, hey, move. If I started out with 22,000 in my growth stock fund and now it's 36,000, hey, just move 6,000 into the stable value fund or the short-term bond fund. Move a little out of every stock mutual fund into something a little safer and leave it on the sidelines. You're not taking it out of your retirement plan, so there's no tax consequence. Now, I'm going to just give you point three, the person who wrote who said, I have stocks. Now, I don't know if those stocks are inside your IRA. If they're outside of your IRA, the considerations are a little bit different. You probably have a long-term capital gain. It's taxed at a lower rate. There's nothing that says you cannot take the gain and put some money in the money market account, save a little to pay the taxes, and set it aside. But if you don't look, and all so many people say to me, oh, I've got mutual funds. Well, no, I'm doing great. Oh, my gosh, it's been a great year. Please don't stop there. Take a look and say, do I want to take 15%, 20% and move it to something safe? I won't get rich on that money, but I won't lose it either. And it'll give me the courage to stick with my stock investments over the long run.
Yeah,
end of story.
Well put. No, it's well put. Here's more questions for you, Terry. Let's go to Joan on line two. You're on WGM with Terry Savage. Joan, how can we help you?
Hi, Terry. Hi, John. I live in Wisconsin, and I used to live in Chicago. My husband and I came up here, and we went through a person who is getting us regular Medicare, and then I have a supplement with a Sendo or an Aetna supplement, and this year it went up $600 from last year, from $1,800 per person. Now, my husband passed away while we were up here, but I take it, and every time I ask my friends what did your supplement go up? And they go, maybe $100, maybe $150.
Oh, Joan, Joan, why didn't you call in December when we had open enrollment and you could switch easily? But I don't know what supplement or what you have, but I happen to know because I asked Tom Dillon to help a couple in Wisconsin. That our friend Tom Dillon from JT Medicare Solutions, and John Bett knows the number by heart, is on my speed dial. He can help you and review your supplement and see if there's anything you can do now, because that is outrageous. I can't even imagine. Are you talking about for the whole year or it went up per month?
No, for the whole year. It went up to $2,400.
Well, that's really only a couple hundred dollars a month.
Right. Well, I tell you, you know, well, it went from $1,800 last year for $1,800 for the year to $2,400 for this year.
Yeah. Okay, that is not a surprising increase, but next, and you keep paying that, and next December, at the beginning of December, end of November, you check with Tom Dillon of JT Medicare Solutions. But that's not a surprise.
Is the window closed on that, Terry? It's still December.
It's closed now. You can switch Advantage plans, but you're in your Medicare supplement now for the year.
Okay. I'll put that number out on the radio in a minute, and Neil's going to hand it to me. In the meantime, let's talk to Paul. You're on WGN with Terry Savage. Hi, Paul. Go ahead.
How you doing? Good afternoon. Happy New Year to both you and everyone, your listeners.
Yeah.
I would like to know, my wife and I have about $1 million plus in her 401k, and we have $200,000 approximately in a Roth. She's planning to retire in about 2 years, and I'm wondering, should we, and there's about $700,000 in the regular IRA. I'm wondering if we should start to convert some of that to Roth money or not.
Okay, this is a wonderful question, and so much depends on what other income you have, who's working, what's going to happen on your joint return, and by the way, how old will your wife be mad if you tell her age right now on the air?
No, she is, let me think, she's 56. I'm 62.
Okay, so this will be well before you get your Medicare and Roth conversions impact your income and so forth. There is only one way. I mean, many financial advisors will say they will advise you. There is only one way that I know and trust for you to get the correct answers, short-term and long-term, for your entire financial situation. If you go to terrysavage.com, and in the search box under columns, just put Roth conversion. A few months ago, I wrote an article explaining the software that Larry Kotlikoff, you know, my partner in that Social Security horror stories big thing that we did, has an incredible software to help people decide whether and how much and when to maximize the strategy for doing Roth conversions. So And there's a link to it right there. And instead of giving you websites and so forth, which is Maxify, M-A-X-I-F-I, that's his website, just go to terrysavage.com. In that box, write Roth conversions. The article will pop up. You should go through that. They, if you don't want to do it on your own, they have planners that will advise you just on that one thing, but they need a lot of information about your age, your other benefits, your pension, your 401k, et cetera.
That's good to know. And Maxify, but also just go to Terry Savage's website and click on the link on converting that IRA. Terry, the phone number for JT Medicare Solutions is 1-800-227-1012. 1-800-227-1012. We referenced JT Medicare Solutions a little while ago. And this listener said, okay, I've tried so many times, but I still can't figure out what you mean by chicken money. What is chicken money?
Okay, well, that's the top column right now at terrysavage.com. I'll give you the quick definition. Chicken money is money that you cannot afford to lose. It is money that doesn't belong invested in risky investments. And the stock market is defined as that. Now, the amount of chicken money you should have depends maybe on the total amount of money you have. It depends on your age. It depends on your time horizon. You could be young and wealthy, but you're saving up for that first year of college and your kid's a junior in high school. That money doesn't belong in the stock market. Chicken money belongs in really safe places where you don't get rich, but you don't get poor. Money market deposit accounts, short-term CDs, six-month treasury bills, money market mutual funds that buy government securities. These are places where you will slightly beat inflation. You have to pay taxes on the interest, so you about break even. You won't get rich, but you won't get poor. And I leave you with this thought. I had this discussion over breakfast this morning. Remember the mantra of the chicken money investor? I'm not so concerned about the return on my money as I am about the return of my money.
With that thought in mind, Happy New Year, Terry Savage. I've got $30,000 in CDs coming due, which earned me 4.5% over the year. Where is a good place to reinvest that money for 2026? This is chicken money. I'm not willing to take a risk on the principal. I'm not interested in Treasury CDs. So, Terry, I'm going to pause here. We're going to do the news, and let's start with your answer to that question after this on WGN. Terry Savage is away, but still working for us today. So let's pick it up with that question that we read before the break. Are you ready, Terry?
Read it again.
I knew you were going to say that. Now I got to remember which one it was.
It was okay.
Yeah. Well,
someone has CDs.
It was right. So somebody said that they wanted to invest, but they don't. They've got chicken money. And they want to know what to do with it.
Okay. And this is just the beginning of how tough it's going to be to have chicken money and stick to that chickenness. And in anticipation of this question, the top column at terrysavage.com, it'll run in syndication this week, is entitled The Challenge of Chicken Money. Now, I know this is coming because the Fed is cutting rates. The incentives are to cut rates. Probably the economy will slow. That will bring rates down. Short-term rates are coming down.
Okay, hold on, Terry. I want to stop you because I want to just read it very specifically. Happy New Year. I have 30,000 in CDs coming due, which earned me 4.5% over the year.
Exactly.
Where's a good place to reinvest? This is chicken money. I'm not willing to take risk on the principal, and I'm not interested in Treasury CDs. Okay, go.
Okay, but this is why I wrote this column, because I anticipated this question. And anyone who has chicken money is going to go, oh, my goodness, my T-bills were 4.5%. Now I'm reinvesting at 3.6%. Listen, if you think it's tough to suddenly have to reinvest at 3.6%, let me remind you of about a decade ago, a little over a decade ago, when I was rolling over my chicken money T-bills at 0.25%. Because when interest rates come down, chicken money rates, T-bills, CD rates, all those things come down. And that's when you are challenged in the area of self-discipline. That is when you will be tempted. Oh my goodness, what's this over here? An annuity offering 7%. Oh my goodness, this is some kind of a certificate offering 6.5%. And my CD is only renewing at 3.5%. Listen, it's only going to get tougher to be disciplined to keep your chicken money. You have no choice. You can look around to see where the best FDIC insured rates are. Just go to bankrate.com and click on CD rates. You can look at money market deposit rates, and some banks will not drop their rates quite as quickly. They'd still like to have money coming in. Others are going, hey, there's tons of money around. We'll drop our CD rates. The basis for which you compare short-term CD rates is the six-month Treasury bill. As we speak, the six-month T-bill yields about 3.6%. If you can get close to that for 6 months, that's what you take. You probably won't get much more if you stretch out your maturity of your CD to a year. And since rates may drop in spring, you might want to stretch out your maturity to a year. But 2 years would be the max you would want to go with chicken money. And I'm sorry the rates are lower, and they'll probably go lower. And you just have to say to yourself, ugh, I hate it. I don't have as much money coming in. I was going to spend that interest. I was getting used to getting a nice interest check. But that's not the point. It's not the return on my money. It's the return of my money. Okay. Terry, read the column.
Terry, I am 72 and a half, and I will be 73 in June. When can I take out my first RMD?
You can take out new subject, RMDs. First, let me say this. Your RMD for 2026 is calculated based on the value of your IRA account or accounts at year end 2025. So any minute or in the next week or two, you're going to get your year end statement from Fidelity or Vanguard or Schwab or wherever your IRA is. And if you have three of them, you're going to take all three of them and put them in a folder and write down. One has 72,000 in it. One has 119,000, whatever it is. You're going to total those up. I should post that in another week or so, the column called Calculating Your RMD, and I'll give you a link. But your custodian, if you give them the total amount of your IRAs, could calculate in the middle of January what your RMD is for the year. Now, you could start, even though you're not 73 until June, you're going to need to take an RMD for 2026. And let's just suppose you needed to take out $12,000 in your RMD. You could call your custodian and say, yep, I've just calculated using the formula, or thank you for calculating for me. I need to take out $12,000. How about this? Why don't you send me $1,000 every month on the 9th of the month or the 12th of the month or whatever it is? Oh, and by the way, depending on your tax bracket, could you withhold 15% for taxes so I don't have to worry about that? So you could start taking it out at the beginning of the year and take it out monthly because you know the total amount once you see your year-end balance. And then, or you could wait till the end of the year and take it out. But most people find it's easier to spread it out.
When you ask, you've said that before, Terry. So if you ask them to withhold some of the money for tax purposes, where is that money being held?
Well, just like when you're paycheck, when they withhold taxes.
Yeah, but
it's sent to the government. It's sent to the government. Your Social Security number. So, yeah, now somebody's going to say, well, I could have that money growing in my IRA for the 11 months. You know, I don't want to have that withholding sent and so forth. Okay. I mean, yes, technically you're correct. I'm talking about for most people. It's easier to just say, or they could say, well, Terry, you know, I think next year is going to be a year like this year. And if we're up 12% even or 10% on the average next year, I don't want to have given them money in January and taken it out of my IRA. Okay, that's not a sure thing, but okay. But I'm talking about the practical matter for most people is to not wait till December 9th to take their RMD and pay their taxes. But you are allowed to do that.
But I've never thought about that. Like if money is withheld from my paycheck for tax purposes, federal, state, whatever, I don't know if somebody's holding that and then paying that at the end of the year, or is it automatically being sent right
no,
to the
No, your
US
employer
Treasury.
pays in and so does the mutual fund company
withhold. How about this? I've got $10,000 to invest, Terry. What's the best short-term investment I can make? I think you've kind of answered that just a minute ago.
I'm a little bit speechless. The question is always, how much are you willing to lose? And well, and I've said that to people, and they've said, well, I could lose 20%. Or then just go buy the S&P 500 stock index. For a short term, it probably won't drop more than 20%.
When I see a question like that, I'm more willing to answer it than you are, and I don't even know what I'm talking about. You're the expert. And
well, I would bet on the Bears to make it into the Super Bowl. If you're willing to be all or none, God, I'll put $20 down on that.
Yeah, but see, I wouldn't do that because I think you would lose that money. That's not a good bet. I think, depending on... I don't think putting it in a S&P index fund is maybe the best short-term investment.
Then go to Las Vegas and put it all on red or black.
Because I think if it's short-term, that means you want a return on this in the short term, and I'm not...
That's the whole point, John, of chicken money. If you have a short-term time horizon, remember I said that at the beginning, it's not just because you're old and you're going to need it to live on, okay? You could have a very short-term time horizon. My example was your kid's a junior in high school, and that's the tuition for freshman year. You have a very short-term time horizon. You don't speculate with that, and you put that in the bank, and you earn 3%, and it's not a lot, and I'm so sorry about that. But if you say, but you have no risk. Now, but there, we talk to an audience of really sophisticated people out there. You all tune in because you're interested in money. Everybody wishes they had more, but you're trying to do the right thing with the money you have. You want to make money with it, but you're concerned about losing it.
Sure.
So you have to know yourself, and you have to understand the risk inherent in anything you do. So red or black are like, I guess, 50-50 odds, and you could lose your 100% of your money. The Bears winning the Super Bowl, somebody tell me what the odds are, but I guarantee you they're much longer than that. You're right. From a gambling point of view, I'm sure that any sports book would tell you those are pretty long odds.
I'll tell you what,
that's speculation. That's gambling. But you can do it quickly, but you're taking a huge risk. Or you could keep it safe, but you get a very little return. And I can't change the dynamics of that.
All right. We're looking up what the odds are. It's plus 1,700. So if you put $10,000 on the Bears, this person has $10,000. They want a short-term return. The Super Bowl is in 6 weeks. What would the return be at plus 1,700? You would make $170,000. But here's what will also happen. You will lose the $10,000. That's what's actually going to happen. Terry, thank you for the answer to that question. I've got more for you in just a minute. Terry Savage, the money lady, for a few more minutes. Terry is still there.
Sure, here.
Anything else you want to work in edgewise here?
No, I think this has been such an interesting discussion, and I'm kind of proud of myself because the two columns I posted before I left anticipated this issue of, whoa, I've made a lot of money. What do I do now? Should I do anything? I mean, if you're 27 or 46, by all means, let it roll. You got to bet on America over the long run. If you're in retirement or closer to retirement, you really cannot afford to not look. Okay, the first thing you have to do is look. You have to know what you own. Please don't say just some mutual funds. Is there a conservative equity income fund? You want to let that ride, but a growth stock fund, this fund or that fund. So look, and if you've got somebody who's advising you, ask them what on the scale of risk, which is more volatile, which is more risky? And then could you possibly peel off 15 or 20% and put it somewhere safe? When you look back, I think you regret more the losses you took than the gains you took too soon.
Since Terry said that you should invest money in the Super Bowl bet, she said you should bet on the Bears. She did not. Now, this question is, who does Terry think will win the Super Bowl?
Oh, I have no idea. If you think I'm bad at calling the stock market, but I'm just very excited. My family has season tickets to the Bears since Sid Luckman gave them to my grandfather. I was there in 1963 at the championship game, and I was there at the Super Bowl in 87. So my son has the tickets now, and I'd love to have him go out to watch the Super Bowl this year with the Bears in it.
I know you mean the 85 Bears. 86 was the
85 or 86, yeah. Right, yeah.
Okay, Terry.
87 was the stock market, Chris. Yeah. That's always a big year for
That's
me.
That's a different one. Terry, yeah. This person said, Terry is wrong about your supplement. I changed my Blue Cross supplement last year in March or April from my original plan to Plan N and saved over $200 a month. What do you know about that, Terry?
I'm going to call Tom Dillon and ask him. It's my understanding that your opportunity to change your supplements is during open enrollment. But
either
I
way.
Could be wrong about that.
Well,
so.
let's do this. Either way, JT Medicare Solutions is the place to go for all of your questions about that. And remember, he works for you for free. Ask Terry what she thinks about the Apple savings accounts, please.
I'm not familiar with them. I've read about them. I'm not familiar with them. Honestly, I can't comment.
Terry, do you have to pay quarterly once you are retired?
It really depends on your tax liability, your other income. It's the kind of thing that you might want to discuss with your accountant. As long as you've paid in 100% of last year's taxes, you have what's called a safe harbor, or 90% of the estimated taxes you'd have to pay this year. But if you're getting to that point, I say take money out of your RMD just because you won't have to come up with taxes in the following year to pay them. But if you're getting to the point where you have other income, this is a kind of tax planning you should do with an accountant.
Can Terry recommend an expense tracking system to get an accurate picture of all of our spending before we retire in a couple of years?
Oh, yes. Here's a great idea. Do this for yourself for the new year. Even if you think you're not a techie, even if you think you don't do stuff on your computer, you all email me, so I know you're very basically sophisticated. Go to quicken.com, quicken.com, and download. That just means push a button. Quicken Simplify. It costs a couple of dollars a month. I promise you it will change your life for the new year. Vic, that should be my next column, and I think I will. I've written about it before. You can look under columns, Quicken, under the search box of my columns. But just go to quicken.com, download Quicken Simplify. You can use as much or as little of it as you want. You can do this. You can do this. If you can text into us, if you can send me emails, you can organize yourself with Quicken. You just connect with a click your bank account and your credit cards, too, and they'll track all your spending. It's really a wonderful way to organize your life and to start the new year.
30 seconds on what are Terry's thoughts on buying gold right now?
Well, gold was up 64% this year. And if you search in my columns, you will see that I have been a consistent recommender of having a portion of your money in gold. In fact, well, I think when it broke 3,000, I wrote a column called An Ode to Gold. I don't think it's over for gold, frankly. I mean, I'm not selling any of my mutual fund shares and I show you how to buy it, either gold mining shares through companies or mutual funds that buy them, mm-hmm. or gold bullion coins. Or the symbol GLD on the New York Stock Exchange, which is the exchange-traded fund that tracks the price of gold. It's had a great run-up. It could back off. But given what's going on in the world, I'm looking forward to gold at $5,000 an ounce at some point in the year ahead.
TerrySavage.com. She's the money lady. God bless you, Terry. We so enjoy your conversation and your help and insight, your website as well. Thanks for working with us as you are on vacation today. We're looking forward to talking to you next week and into the new year.
Thank you, John. Thank you for sharing your time with me. I wish everybody a happy, healthy, and prosperous new year.
And that's the Savage Truth.